Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City. And I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. And I'm joined by Mark. Mark?
Mark Waltz, also in New York City, over by the Hudson River. And it's supposed to be winter. We have long nights, short days, but it's not that cold.
And cold, right.
Yeah, yes. But it's not that cold, really.
No, it's actually been pretty nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I came back from Florida yesterday with my flip-flops on, so I was like, all right, I guess it's not that cold. If I'm wearing my flip-flops, we're good. Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So what we do here on Access Astrology is we talk about the weather in the sky, and then we take calls from listeners. And so let's start with the calls. I think Heather's joining us tonight, too. She hasn't come in yet. So, Mark, tell me what you see in the heavens this week.
Well, let's see. I actually don't have a list in front of me. I have to think about it. I know Mercury is retrograde.
Mm-hmm. And so Mercury retrograde does what?
It slows things down, and especially things that have to do with communication. So it's a time to be more reflective and more a little slower in communicating, because or a little slower and a little more clear.
Yeah.
So even
kind
though
of double checking
clear,
things.
Yeah. And even though you think you're being clear, sometimes you need to repeat and ask, you know, for feedback.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not as clear as you think.
Was I clear just then, or did I say something you didn't understand? Right.
Right.
So Mercury retrograde, yeah. And he is right now hanging out with the sun and the moon, who are going to be new in a few hours. At 1:53, we have a new moon in Capricorn at 7 degrees on the degree of birds singing, which is always kind of fun. And they're all it's all taking place in the third house on the East Coast here. So it's a lot about communication and connection. And new moons,
birds
of course,
singing.
Start a new singing. Birds singing. It's a little cold for the birds. Well, not in Florida. There were birds down there. But this.
I told you we had a lot of crows up in Massachusetts.
I know.
And they were really raucous.
Yes.
Making a big lot of noise and a bunch of them together.
Right.
So I guess
they're
kind of
like, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah. Who knows?
See, pelicans don't talk. We had a lot of pelicans, but they don't talk. They just kind of dive in and eat fish.
Right.
Yeah. But they weren't making any noise. Although there was something that was making a lot of noise up in the top of the thing, but I couldn't figure out what it was. Couldn't see it very well.
Probably a bird.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bird. It was high. So, but the energy of this new moon is very potent because it has what's called a hard rectangle in it. As a T-square, which is the T-square we've been working with for a while, and a hard rectangle, and what the hard rectangle does is it's a climber energy. So when you have a hard rectangle in your chart, you climb out of difficult situations, like Mike Tyson had one, Muhammad Ali had one, Viola Davis has one. So they come from hard beginnings and hard circumstances and climb. And the north node is on the part of sudden advancement, and that north node is part of the hard rectangle in the new moon. So there's a lot of energy about how we're going to go forward and get things accomplished and what we're going to do in that direction. So it's a lot of energy around connecting and moving into whole new ways. And then there's the T-square, and what the T-square does is it shoots all the energy into the Cancer house, the empty leg of the chart, and it says, okay, we're beginning again with this, and we're kind of starting in an action-oriented planets, because planets are in what are called cardinal signs. So it's very action-oriented. And then last, Uranus is stationing to go direct after having been retrograde for the last 6 months. So he says, full steam ahead, let's blow things up.
Yep.
So we saw today Barack Obama and Donald had a fight. You know, he's not supporting my smooth transition. And right. Debbie Reynolds died, right? She just passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Joining her daughter, joining her daughter on the other side. So expect endings, expect unexpected changes, expect reversals and things to kind of go, wow, that went fast. And of course, Mars is in Pisces, which is on the south node, or it's off the south node's pulling away from it. But Mars in Pisces is very much an indirect energy. So it's not real clear. So it's yeah. an interesting sky. So anything you want to add on those, Mark? The Uranus stationing or the...
Well, I like the notion of the hard rectangle in the new moon chart. Because it means that if you're feeling a hardship, you're lucky. Because it gives you something mm-hmm. to work with. And actually, that's a good lesson overall to look at where the hardships are in our life and take them as stepping stones.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And the hard rectangle is, for those of you who want to know, excuse me, the hard rectangle is formed between the north node. Thank you. I don't know what the coughing is from.
Yeah.
I have not had any gluten and I haven't had any dairy. No, I'm just coughing. The hard rectangle is formed from, it's two oppositions. So the one opposition is the north node and Mars in Pisces. And the other opposition is Jupiter in Libra and Uranus in Aries. And so those are opposite each other. And then the north node and Uranus are sesquiquadrate to each other, which is a square with stress. And Jupiter and Mars are sesquiquadrate to each other. Again, a square with stress. And then Jupiter and the north node are semi-sextile, which is a 45 degree, which is just stress. And Mars is stressfully aspecting Uranus. So it's a lot of stress in the sky. But it's because of the oppositions, it's able to actualize and move forward. But it moves forward with a bit of anxiety. So if you're feeling a little anxious, or you're feeling a little stressed, or you're feeling a little anxious and stressed, or if you're feeling a little oppositional, all of that is the hard rectangle. And the nice part is the north node of fate is on the part of sudden advancement. So your job is to get over it and get on your big girl or big boy panties and say, okay, I'm feeling the stress, but Mars in Pisces, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to trust my instincts. And I'm going to take a step forward. And the minute you move, this rectangle is highly active and it's able to do things. Now, the Mars in Pisces can also disappear and hide rather than moving. So we want to kind of not do that. We want to move forward boldly with one giant step.
Yeah.
So, Mark, what do you think?
Step. Yeah. It's a little bit like walking off the plank, you know. Because, and especially Mars and Pisces, it has that ocean energy. Just go ahead and take a chance. And the ocean will catch you. But I think actually the key to this is the Uranus, which will be stationed in a few minutes and a few days. But it really points to dealing with this whole thing by
You're breaking up a little louder.
Being intuitive and impulsive. So it may feel impulsive, and it may not be clear exactly why you're taking the step you're taking, but go ahead and take the step.
Yeah. You're a little soft there, so I don't know if your reception's off or if I'm just not hearing you well. You're a little, if you've got a better reception space, yeah. But feeling the anxiety, feeling the fear, and doing it anyway. It's a very strong moon for that kind of energy. Yeah. And then we also have Mars coming to join Neptune this week. which is kind of a stimulant. And Mars is going to sextile the Sun this week. So we have a lot of energy around Mars-Sun, which is
what do I want?
How do I move towards it? And then we're clear once Mars gets past Neptune. We start to see, you know, where we are. Because it can be a little foggy what your step is that you're supposed to take right now. And that's okay. You know, just kind of don't go backwards. Huh? Pardon?
Yeah, Mars and Pisces makes it not sure.
Right. So, especially because he's coming up on Neptune.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the conjunction to Neptune really makes it, you know, I'd rather not. You'll have that sort of message going, well, I'd just rather not do something. But what you need to do is
right.
do something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that helps it all. Then the other thing is that the Uranus opposite to Jupiter, they had their first of three oppositions last week. But Uranus, Jupiter, and Saturn are all like at the same degree with Chiron. So there's a lot of energy in the sky around working with old wounds that want to heal. And there's a lot of adjustment that needs to take place. So it's an adjusting for healing. So this is an excellent time to do any kind of dietary changes or exercise changes or vitamin changes, kind of to assess where you are in your life and then say, okay, let me adjust and change this so that I'm able to have this a little more the way I want it. Because the energy of the chart really wants us to have that, you know, kind of a creative dynamic, anticipatory, like, oh, well, what happened? Well, just go do it. Really? If it doesn't work out, well, it doesn't work out. Just go do it. So it's a very, it's like, and then Mark said, walking the plank, you know, if you pirate ships, they would make them walk the plank into the ocean, you know? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're going to hit the ocean.
Right,
ship going to sail away? Probably, but that's okay. There's another boat right around the corner, you know?
Right. And you're better off in the ocean than staying on the pirate ship once they decided they don't want
right.
to. Yeah, you really just go
once
ahead.
Once they've said it's time for you to, right.
Yeah.
Time to walk the plank. Yeah. Okay, so forward we go, and I guess we'll take some callers. So if anybody mm-hmm. wants to call in, callers are 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881, and we do have one caller who's raised their hand and been on hold, and if anybody else who's been on hold who is listening would like to have a question answered, press 1, and that will make you raise your hand, and we'll call on you. And if you don't press 1, up, oh, there we go, 916 just raised their hand. Okay, cool. All right, so 202 has been there the longest, so they get to have their question first. Hi, 202. What is your question?
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi.
My birthday is 3580.
351980.
Mm-hmm.
Time?
1:29 a.m.
What time?
1:29 a.m.
And what place?
Philadelphia,
right.
PA.
And where?
Philadelphia, PA.
Philadelphia. Okay, 1:29 a.m., March 5th, 1980. And what is your question?
Oh, I guess just transit-wise, what you see, it's right now in terms of friendships a little bit stark for me. And also, I had someone relationship-wise mm-hmm. that I wanted mm-hmm. to check into also to see, I don't know, if you guys felt that this person was compatible because I kind of can't read it. Whatever we have time for.
You're not going to read anything very accurately for a while. Yeah.
Neptune?
you're having Saturn in your first house. Yeah, mm-hmm. on your Neptune, yeah. So I would just say until August, you know, you're in the fog. You know, with Saturn coming in your first house, it's very much a time of being by yourself and being alone. And you're a Pisces with Mercury retrograde. Now, the good news about Mercury retrograde is when Mercury's retrograde in the sky, like now, you get mm-hmm. clear answers. Mm-hmm. The bad news is, you know, you're having Saturn square your Saturn. So mm-hmm. your chart again is just not clear. And so I would just go, I'm not clear. I don't know what I'm doing, and that's okay. and, you know, I would just, is it that kind of year?
Yeah.
Mark, what do you
think?
Yeah. It is just kind of a year to kind of buckle your seatbelt and follow the rules.
Oh, God. That sounds horrible.
Well, it'll lead to things, you know. I know Saturn never gets good press. Nobody likes to see Saturn coming, but it's part of life.
Yeah.
And if you make the best of it, you get rewards later.
Okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And also
and
because
in
he's in your first house, you know, he's
like...
really asking you.
Sorry, go ahead.
Not unless you're on your second marriage. Are you on your second marriage?
No, nowhere near.
No.
I haven't even been married once.
You there?
Okay.
Yeah, nowhere near.
Haven't been married once. Okay.
Married once.
Yeah, if you're on your second marriage, I'd say, okay, go. But you're not married yet. So, yeah, no. Saturn's in your first house. So what he's doing is he's saying to you, we're ready to get serious about life now because you've been born again. When Saturn came across your ascendant in the fall, he said it's time to be born again. And then he's going to come to Neptune, and he's going to park on Neptune this year. He's going to station on him, actually. And so what that is he's saying to you, so what's your dream? What was your dream when you were 22 and a half? What's your dream now? And then he's going to square your natal Saturn, and he's going to talk to that, and he's going to say, you know, what are the rules and regulations you believe? Do you still believe them? Now, the nice part, you're going to have the eclipses go off in the second house, in the eighth house. So it's going to be a big year for you clarifying what's important to you.
Hmm.
And also with Jupiter coming to your midheaven, you're going to start a new 12-year cycle around relationships. So that's helpful. And you're ready now for a big relationship. So I would say that's good. I don't know if the current partner is the right one. I would be a little suspect because of the Neptune. But I would say to you, it is a big relationship year, or really clarifying what you want. But because of the Neptune, Saturn on the Neptune, I'm always kind of like, well, let's just see. Natally, you have Neptune and Saturn fighting. So when Saturn comes to your Neptune, he should bring you good stuff. But he can also be a little tricky, like when you were 7 years old, you know, and you were tricked back then, right? So he said, yeah, it's good stuff. And you went, that's not good stuff. I don't like that. So you kind of initially it looked good, but then later it was, well, no, that's not good. So you're kind of in that place again. So think back on what happened in 87, 88. You were little, could have been with your parents too. But what you're doing this year, especially by July, is you're defining what you want in relationship and what you want the next 12 years of your life to look like. So it's a really important time for you. So I would say have fun, but, you know, wait until Saturn clears the Neptune before you commit. Mark?
Yeah, well, the Saturn and the Neptune also, it gives you a moment of really doubt. And it makes you really look at everything you believe and decide, you know, what you can hang on to. And if you make firm decisions, they'll hold. So get yourself to maybe write down the 10 things that you most are sure of and rely on those. Because a lot of things you'll say, well, maybe I believe this, maybe I don't. Let those stuff go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
August, it will be off of my Neptune.
Yeah,
August,
August,
it's off of there.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All righty. Well, thank you both. I'm passing in my seat.
Hang on, I'll give you the exact date.
Oh, thank you.
You are welcome. It should be a fun beginning of the year. So I would just have a good time. And I wouldn't worry about it. So Saturn clears your... it hits that once. It clears it in... The station's at 22 in July, and it gets off it for good 22-34 in October. Sorry, I said August, but it's October. October 6th.
Got it.
So that's when you're clear what's going on. But you should have a lot of clarity in the month of July and August. So, because Saturn's kind of parked on your 22s. You got a lot getting woken up this year. So it's all about like, okay, what's going on now? What's going on now? And that's the way I would live it. What's today? What's today? Today's Tuesday. Okay, you know, like just don't even just know you're in a fog all year and have fun. Play a lot of music and dance a lot, you know?
I can do that.
Good.
All right. Okay, good.
Yeah, let us know how it goes.
All right. So now we're going to try 916-698. I let her go already. 5202.
Hello.
916-698. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Happy holidays.
Can you hear me?
You guys.
Uh-huh. Hi. What's your question?
I can hear you.
Happy holidays.
I was born on May 12, 1965 at 7:26 a.m. in Berkeley, California.
Okay. And your question, May 12th, 1965,
I'm going through a divorce.
7:26.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm going through a divorce, and I've been in limbo for a long time. I've tried to move on, but none of my plans seem to pan out. I still want to get on with my life. I need to figure it out now due to pending negotiations with my divorce. What does my chart say about reinventing my life?
It says this is a good time to do it. The issue with partner is going to continue. You know, there's a stubbornness with them about divorcing you. I'm not quite sure why, but it's showing as very stubborn energy around actually ending it. So I would say to you, part of your job is to just say, ending, not ending, I'm going to go do my thing and push yourself forward rather than waiting for a clean ending. Because you have a lot of planets in the 12th house, May 12th, 1965, 7 in the morning, 7:26 in the morning. Planets in the 12th house can be held captive for a while. And partners, the Saturn is in conjunct your sun. Basically this year, we just looked it up for the woman before you. So she's getting set free in November. You're getting set free in October. So basically you're held captive until October. So your job is to say, you know, held captive by divorcing partner. So what I would say to you is, and that can be, you know, you sign the papers, but you don't get the money, or you don't sign the papers, or you get close and then it all falls apart. You're having Jupiter on your moon, which says you're really ready for a whole new life. So what I would do is kind of say ready for the next 12 years to begin back to 2004, 1992, 1980. Each of those years represented big blooms for you in terms of your life direction. Your progressed moon does not finish with Pluto for another 7-8 months. So that's a power struggle energy, especially with Saturn and his placement that he's in. So, you know, this is an old karmic story with this partner. And, you know, you really can be engaged with them through the year. So you need to go and just go, well, I'm going to go do my thing. You know, while I can't make this go faster or whatever, they're digging in their heels and you don't have a lot of control. So you have to kind of do it, kind of live your best life regardless would be the way I would handle it. Cause it's showing as a very frustrating energy, but they're getting a certain amount of glee in being obstructionist. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah. It is something where you're not in charge of the timetable. It's, you know, someone else is able to determine things just as much as you are. So, in a way, you have to make your own inner struggle and don't get too caught up in what is outside of you. It's enough to handle the inner struggle, and it'll bring you somewhere. If you get caught up in the external struggle, it's just going to be a waste of energy. So you know, you have to comply, you have to do things, but you won't be able to determine where things are going.
What do you mean about the inner struggle?
Or the speed of it?
It's your inner struggle is really putting together where you're going on your own. So there's part of you that's involved in this struggle outside with the partner, but it's more the inside because you're separating. There's a lot of history, and you need to let it be history as much as you can. But I think what's happening is your partner is trying to slow down the whole thing turning into history. So you just have to advance. And you'll keep getting dragged into that. And each time you do, respond to it and then go ahead and say, what does this mean for me? And what's my takeaway from all this? So keep looking for your takeaway every time something happens. And you're going to understand things differently than the people around you do.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. And then in terms of if you're thinking back on time, think back to 1979 and what was going on then with your family of origin, and then 1998, because you're having career direction eclipses that are trying to move you in a new direction, like you did in 98 and you did in 79, or your family did. But it's got that quality of uncontrollable, meaning not in a bad way. You know, it's not predictable, but there will be changes in August and in February. So you've got an opportunity. Things will show up for you to say, should we do this? And you want to go, yes, 3 months from now. That's going to be the February one. And then you've got another one in August. And when those pop, those will give you a pull. And if you think back to what happened in 1998 and then 1979, that'll give you something to hang on to while partners being blocking. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It really does.
Did we lose
Thank you?
You?
No. Can you hear me?
Okay.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Your moon's in... Yep. Yeah, okay. Your moon is in Virgo for another 23 months, 2-3. So moon in Virgo is about being of service, but not necessarily getting what it wants. It's going to be in the fourth house for another 16 months, 1-6. So those give you time frames. It gets set free a little bit in 7 months, but it's a hard patch you're going to go through this next 7-8 months. So you really want to focus on your spiritual path, your dream of where you're going next, and then in the moments when you can do it, move towards that direction, because that's really the best thing to do in this kind of situation when you're kind of stuck.
Okay.
Do the 98 and the 79 bring back any stories in your life? Did they bring back anything in your stories in your life?
98, I was...
I think we might have lost her.
Leaving okay. One set up and having an adventure and changing my life. And now I'm looking at going back to that place.
Okay. Okay, good. And then what happened in 79 in your family of origin when you were 14?
My mom went into recovery.
Anything with your parents?
My mom is a recovering alcoholic, and that's when she went into recovery.
Okay.
So that's the motto. One day at a time, you're in recovery, and you're changing your life. So those are your theme songs for this year, okay?
All right. Yes,
Makes
ma'am.
Sense?
Thank you. Yes, it really does.
Good.
Long-time
okay.
listener.
Thank you.
Appreciate you
right.
a lot. Thanks.
Good. Good
okay.
luck with it.
All right, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. All right, and the British lady said we're done. We
okay.
got a minute. We got 6 seconds. Okay. We're having a workshop. in March in New York. We're going to have that up on the website for you guys to sign up. Mark and Heather and I will all be teaching here in New York on that weekend of the 11th of March. Mark your calendars. It'll be up and released very shortly. I'm waiting for Mercury to go direct. I caught in the shadow, but we're going to have it here in New York, and it's on the moon, which, of course, is the timer of our lives. So this is Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk. And
Mark Waltz saying Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah.
Okay.
So Happy New Year, everybody.
And we'll be back
see you next
week.
Year. Take care. Big hugs.
Next year.
Okay. Love you all. Bye.
Bye now.
Okay. Bye all. Yeah. Next year. We'll talk to you next year. I always love saying that. See you next year. Talk to you next year. Okay. Bye, everybody. Bye. Yeah, next year. Woo. All right. Bye-bye.